Hello there, and welcome back as we continue to learn who God is. As we'll learn today and tomorrow, God is worthy of our worship. The Bible passage that we've been reading and discussing this week is John chapter 12, and I'm about to read to you from just one verse there, but maybe you'll remember, being in John's Gospel is a little excursion from this month's main passage of Matthew chapter 26. We will refer to that today and go back to Matthew 26 next week. Matthew 26 is home for us, but we're stretching our legs a bit on a pre-spring day and walking over to John 12 so that we get the complete picture of Mary anointing Jesus' body with a very costly jar of perfume. In this act, Mary serves as an example to us of how we are to worship Jesus. And Mary is a marked contrast with the Jewish high priest Caiaphas that we studied last week. Caiaphas, the Christ killer, responded to Jesus in a totally different manner than Mary did. He hated the Lord. She loved the Lord. So as we get prepared for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm introducing you to different people who responded to him in different ways at the start of the final week of his earthly life before his death on the cross for our sins. And this always begs the question, how do you respond to Jesus? He is alive today in heaven, and he pursues you here in your life on planet Earth. And what's in your heart when you hear him calling your name? Think about this and bear in mind your attitude towards Christ as we proceed. And if you've been with us, then you already know a lot. We've spent the previous three broadcasts and podcasts talking background and verses 1 and 2 of John 12. If you missed that, you can still get it. Just stick with me until the end and you'll find out how you can hear God is repeatedly. But here now is John chapter 12 and verse 3. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. We're going to spend a couple of days with this verse because there is much here that bears knowing. God's word is rich in detail. At the start now, I want to talk about this perfume, and then I want to talk about posture and power. I'll explain those words when I get to them. Here's an outline for you. In John 12, verse 3, I'll be talking about the perfume, the posture, and the power. To do this, we're going to take verse 3, just phrase by phrase, okay? Now, this is not rocket science. When you're able, get your Bible open in front of you, and you'll see exactly what I am doing. And the first phrase is this, a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard. That's our first P, the perfume. John tells us there's a pound of it. That is the equivalent of about 12 ounces as we measure today. So Mary has 12 ounces of this. By my estimation, that's quite a bit. Furthermore, the Bible says this perfume was very costly. And of course it was, because it was made from nard. And what is nard? N-A-R-D. Nard is a plant. Full name is spikenard. And it grows in the countries of Nepal, China, and India. If you extract the oil from the root of the plant, then you get a beautiful smelling perfume. And that is what Mary had. But Mary is in Israel. So this perfume came a long way. And the distance added to the cost. If you're paying close attention, then you'll notice it is not just nard, but pure nard. Pure. This is the purest kind of fragrance. High quality. No wonder it was so expensive. Further along in John 12 at verse 5, and over in Mark's Gospel, we read that this was worth over 300 denarii, which is a year's wages. Let me read to you John 12 verse 5. Judas asks, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people? He values it at 300 denarii. And then Mark 14, verse 5, some in the room at Simon's house were saying, quote, for this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii. The others agreed with Judas' assessment of the value of the pure nard. And then to add even more value to what Mary holds in her hand, the perfume of pure nard was held in an alabaster vial. This is according to Matthew and Mark. You do not put expensive perfume in any old bottle. No, the gorgeous alabaster was used. And Mark tells us she broke the neck of the vial to pour the perfume over Jesus. Cracking alabaster. What a gift this was for her Lord. So that's our first P in the outline, the perfume. And second, we have Mary's posture. Our second P stands for posture. John 12, verse 3 continues, "And Mary anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair." See here what Mary does with her precious perfume. She soaks the Lord in it. The Bible says she anoints him. Matthew and Mark say Mary poured the perfume on his head and John on his feet. But there is no contradiction here. The posture of Jesus reclining at the table, as the custom in that day, meant that Mary could stand behind him and above him and pour the possession over his head and then down his body and over Christ's feet. Remember, she has about 12 ounces. Jesus himself indicates that he wore the perfume over his whole body. Listen to Matthew chapter 26 at verse 12. "For when she, Mary, poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial." Note, my body. Matthew covered Christ in the perfume. Her posture was to stand and pour it over his head and then to go to his outstretched feet and to wipe his feet with her hair, anointing the most dusty and therefore dirty part of his physical body, the feet. And for her to let down her hair was at best indecent and mostly considered immoral. Respectable Jewish women just did not let their hair down in public, but Mary did. And that's because she used her hair to wipe the Lord's feet. This would have also been considered by the onlookers as degrading. In fact, in that culture, only the most menial of all the slaves washed their master's feet. It was a dirty, despicable task. But here, Mary wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. She didn't just use her hands or a towel. No, Mary used her own hair. This is quite the posture she takes, isn't it? Indecent, immoral, degrading, the lowest slave's task, but Mary does it all for Jesus. She adores him. She worships him. She loves him. I'm reminded of the words of the hymn, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now." Mary did not sing that. She lived that. What a truly remarkable scene. And this brings us to the third of the other three P's in our little outline today, the power. First, we discussed the perfume and then the posture and now the power. There's a lot of power in this encounter between Mary and Jesus, with everyone else looking on, shocked by what they see her do. We're going to find out what the disciples think about this and specifically how Judas reacts. And we'll hear from Jesus himself. All of them react to the power that emanates from this sweet fragrance. But as we consider this power, note the third and final phrase in John 12, verse 3. "And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume." Wow, the whole house was filled with this pungent and pure odor. Mary has brought all the attention on Jesus, as it should be, and we're going to continue to discuss Mary and her response to Christ, but we really are not able to say more about this today because we need to meet another character in the story who interjects yet another contrast to her. His name is Judas, and let me just put it this way to you. He's closer to Caiaphas than he is Mary in his response to Jesus Christ. So when we come to verse 4 tomorrow, we'll talk about Judas, and in the context of what he says, circle back to Mary. My point is I'm not finished with her just yet. What I would like to do now is to have you consider with me two verses from the Old Testament book of the Song of Solomon. Now, I do not know when is the last time you read the Song of Solomon. This is not usually a portion of the Bible the average person, let alone Christian person, is reading. Having said that, if you hear J. Vernon McGee over on the Through the Bible radio program, then you know that he's just recently taken us through it with his usual flair. I love Dr. McGee, by the way. I mean, I truly love the man and look forward to spending eternity alongside him as we worship Jesus. I personally never miss a day aboard the Bible bus. And sometime, I can say more about how Through the Bible influenced me to start God Is. I don't have time now, but I do heartily recommend Through the Bible to you. There's a good chance this station carries it, or get it online, my beloved. And if you hear Dr. McGee, you'll know why I added my beloved. Anyway, in Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 3, the text says, "Your oils have a pleasing fragrance. Your name is like purified oil." And prophetically speaking, whose name is this? It's Christ. The fragrance, the purified oil, the perfume, the pure nard has been poured over him. And it gets better down in Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 12. Listen to this, Song of Solomon 1 verse 12. "While the king was at his table, my perfume gave forth its fragrance." The king is Christ, and his table is pictured in John 12. And the king's perfume that Mary has poured all over King Jesus' body gives forth a fragrance that's powerful. The perfume, the posture, and the power, all in one sentence of John 12, that is verse 3. We learned a lot today, didn't we? We're packing truth into every minute we have with one another. Let's not waste any time. I hope that you'll think on these things, that in a sense you will smell this. Pound a very costly perfume of pure nard. Let it touch your nose as you remember Mary's loving worship of Christ. She emerges as a rose between two thorns in the side of Jesus. The first thorn was Caiaphas. The rose is Mary, and the other thorn is Judas. So come on back tomorrow as we meet him here on God Is.